Friends, I'm turning this evening to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1. And I'd like to start with the first verse. So Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 1. So Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The words of Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. Now, friends, you know that Jeremiah is a very big book, but I just want to really scan through it and be tracing a little of Jeremiah's life. So it's really about the life of Jeremiah. And one of the standing lessons in Jeremiah's life is how to stand, how to serve the Lord and live in a godless generation. When everything seems to be against the Lord and His Word, how do we live? How do we serve? How do we make progress? And Jeremiah is the best example, because I'm sure some of you may know that that Jeremiah labored under much discouragement, because during his day, he is a prophet that sometimes we cite him and say that he seemed never to have been successful because nobody listened to him, except one or two persons. And he had very few friends. Everybody was against him. Of course, the Lord told him ahead of time. And so Jeremiah's life is such a great encouragement. And yet, his tremendous faithfulness, how he stood his ground as a lone figure representing the Lord, is quite astonishing. If you see the various kinds of persecutions he had to go through. Friends, if we are one of those who truly belong to the Lord, if we really want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, knowing that that's all we are here for, then surely we must learn from Jeremiah. How shall we stand also? And in spite of the godlessness, how shall we remain faithful and keep on to the very end? And so, this is Jeremiah. We are told that he was of the priest, so his background was in the priesthood. And Jeremiah was called into the service of the Lord quite young. We are not certain exact age. Probably something is suggested around 19. Some say maybe 20 or something like 22 or so. So, he was fairly a young person when the Lord called him. And Jeremiah ministered during the period when Judah, you know, the northern tribe had already gone to captivity. The northern tribe, the 10 tribes, had gone to captivity under the rule of Hoshea, who was their last king. And so it was left with the southern tribe, people of Judah. And Jeremiah ministered there for 40 years from the period of somewhere halfway through the life of Josiah to Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. And during that time, the only good person Jeremiah had to deal with as far as the ruler of the kingdom was concerned was Josiah. Josiah was the last godly king in Judah. Because after him, all his children who followed him were really, of course, at least those who were put on the throne were no good persons at all. And all of them, some of them would spend a very short time on the throne. And so Jeremiah had to go through those difficulties. So sometimes what went on was under one king or the other. And he had to bear through all that until the end. Jeremiah saw the time when Josiah sadly died. You know, Josiah was a young king, a godly king, and he died early. We are all sad about that, because he died around 39 years old. And he died, you would humanly say that it was a death he shouldn't have exposed himself to, because he went to stop the king, the Egyptian king, Pharaoh Necho, when he was going on his way to the northern part to fight Babylon. And Josiah wanted to stop him, and he died on the way. Now, that was at least part of the reason why Jeremiah wrote his book Lamentations, because he was lamenting the king who died. He was because that was the last godly king Jeremiah would have to deal with. Now, there's so much more to say about him, so I'll be skimming through a number of things. Wherever time allows us, we will stop. And so, I start with his calling, because the Lord said before him clearly what he should expect. Sorry. And so the Lord says this, verse 2. to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim. Please, I jump to verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now, this is one example that we say that every child of God believes that God has a clear purpose for him. The very time, and this is one of the, of course, it's not a proof text, but it's one of, if you like, the preparatory texts concerning election. That God, for each one of us who will come to him, he knew us before we were born. And he set his heart upon us. And he purposed the very things he would have us do. And this is why, on our part, when you become a Christian, you have to bring all your ways before the Lord. Because God wants to guide you to the life he wants you to live. The kind of life he wants you to live. And the kind of service and how available I should be. His service. So he tells Jeremiah, even when you were not born, then I set you apart. I knew you. And I decided to set my love upon you and set you aside for myself. And Jeremiah felt himself unworthy, as many of the prophets of the Lord did. Moses did that. Isaiah too did that. And Jeremiah also. Verse 6, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Not because he has lost that power of speaking, but he knew that this was a nation that would be very difficult to speak to, because they've become very tough in sin, and they will hardly listen. And yet the Lord told Jeremiah, verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And Jeremiah would do exactly that. And sometimes I'll take a number of examples as our passage will allow us, even when he's being threatened, he will simply speak what the word of the Lord is. And so the Lord said, what I tell you, that's what you should speak. That should be the rule, my dear friends. When you become a Christian and our loyalty is given to the Lord Jesus Christ, we hear only one voice. The Lord Jesus Christ said that in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And so when I'm converted, that has stamped upon my heart, all opinions are treated as nothing if they do not accord with what the Savior says. You see, it's stamped upon our nature right at conversion, so that it's the voice of our shepherd we would follow. And so Jeremiah was told right there, and look at what the Lord added, verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the Lord. And again, Jeremiah resigned himself to those. The Lord will deliver him. It is the Lord who will defend him. His portion is to speak for the Lord. His protection and defense will come from the Lord. It wasn't his business to defend himself. It wasn't his business to try to protect himself, because he was afraid that people would do something against him. So he was afraid of speaking or doing what the Lord had called him to do. Jeremiah, the Lord warned him. In fact, the Lord told him that if he ever became afraid of people, he himself, the Lord himself, would make him even more afraid, so that he would be useless before the people. And so that was Jeremiah's commission and all that the Lord told him about that kind of things to expect. And so Jeremiah went on in his work. And then I'll go very quickly to some of his persecutions, and you'll be amazed the kind of things he suffered. So I go all the way, please. I jump heavily to chapter 19. And something happened here. This chapter 90, it's likely the days of Jehoiakim, because after Josiah came Josiah's son called Jehoahaz, and he reigned for only 3 months. And so that was really no rule at all. Because when he came on the throne, the Egyptians came up, and then they deposed him and then took him away. And so they took his brother Jehoiakim to be in his place. Sometimes he's also called Eliakim. It's the same Jehoiakim. And so it was his time. He was a very wicked person. As I said, Josiah was the only good one there. Sorry, chapter 19. And at this time, there was this man here called Pasha, verse 14. So, chapter 19 and verse 14 and 15. Jeremiah had been sent to go and stand in a place called Tophet, the same as the valley of the sons of Hinnom, the son of Hinnom, verse 14. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words." And so this was a very message of Jeremiah. And then this man who is a priest, verse 20, hears Jeremiah preaching these things. Verses 1 and 2, chapter 20. Now Pasha, the son of Imer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pasha smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And so this man came in to slap Jeremiah. And then he arrested him and put him in stocks. You know, those stocks were those, sometimes the wooden device that they put your legs in and they lock it up so you cannot get up. It can be of wood or steel, whichever way. But that was the treatment to Jeremiah. And then, verse 3. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pasha brought for Jeremiah out of the stocks. Listen to Jeremiah. Then said Jeremiah unto him, "The Lord hath not called thy name Pasha, but Amego Mishabib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and an enemy shall behold it." And so after this man had beaten Jeremiah and put him in the stocks, he released him. But then Jeremiah said, "Well, the Lord said I should tell you, your name shall be called out, this Megam Isabib, meaning terror on every side. Wherever you will go, you'll be afraid. There will be terror all around you. You will say that, well, this man, you are being beaten, soften your words." No, not Jeremiah. He will still tell them exactly what the Lord had told them. And then, this is Jeremiah's brief moment. It's the only time Jeremiah will buckle. The only time Jeremiah will weaken. But thankfully not before any person. He would take his complaint to the Lord. Because the pressure had begun. The Lord told him, but Jeremiah didn't fully appreciate the magnitude. And so, when this pressure, this is the first persecution at least, as is recorded for us, this man, a priest called Pasha, slapping Jeremiah, putting him in prison, and bringing him out. And then Jeremiah went to pray to the Lord. Look at verse 7 to 9. Look at his prayer. Quite depressing, but the Lord will surely strengthen him. Verse 7, "Oh Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." You know what he's saying? Jeremiah's prayer was that, "Oh Lord, you use your power to overwhelm me. You deceived me." Well, what did he mean that God told him a lie? No, he was saying, "Lord, you didn't let me see the full scale of my troubles." Of course, God doesn't tell us the full scale of our troubles. In fact, if he told us, perhaps we'll run away. If he doesn't tell us the full scale, he only tells us, "Well, you will suffer, but I'll be with you, okay?" And that should be enough for us. And so Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord, you didn't tell me the full scale, but look at what I'm suffering. I didn't think everybody would be laughing at me. And now wherever I go, everybody is laughing at me. And my message is always negative. Everywhere I go, you tell me to tell people, spoil, destruction, misery. This is all that is coming. And so I really plan never to speak in your name again. I purpose to say, no more preaching. And yet, your word burns in my soul. I cannot keep quiet. I'll go and preach still."
That's amazing, isn't it? That was the only time Jeremiah buckled a bit, but he recovered. You see that? And so, friends, it's not surprising if sometimes we come under that pressure and we seem to weaken a little. Oh, may we cry. May we bring our complaints to the Lord. You know, sometimes serving the Lord can feel so burdensome. Unless you are not entirely involved. Unless you are half-hearted. Unless you only do the work of the Lord out of convenience. If it's convenient, I do it. If it's not convenient, I simply stay away. Well, of course, people like that never prove the power and help of the Lord. They will not. But those who are wholly involved, you will know times when you seem so weary. And it's as if you want to say, why don't I stop? And yet the Lord will give us grace to recover and say, to stop and do what? So if I stop running after the children, if I stop pursuing them, if I stop really committing myself to this aspect of the work, what would I use my energies for? And so you recover. Jeremiah recovered very quickly. And there will be more persecutions. Friends, I bring you to chapter 26. Just want to run through that. He came under another threat. Jeremiah, in chapter 26, let me just give you something, a little of a background. In 26, Jeremiah had been sent a second time. The first time he was sent to this place was in chapter 7. He was sent to the temple to stand right at the door when people were entering into the temple. And then to tell the people that were coming that if they did not repent, then God would destroy the temple. Because the people had put their confidence in the temple. The people in Jerusalem were saying, as long as God's temple is on this land is indestructible. Nobody can destroy this land. And the Lord sent Jeremiah to go and tell them, hey, you believe in foolishness. If you, the people living on the land, won't be obedient to the Lord, then the Lord will destroy the temple. It is not the temple. It's your obedience, your loyalty to the Lord. And so Jeremiah, second time, he goes to stand at the temple gate and proclaims this message. And then some of the leaders hear him. And then he's very strongly threatened. Verse 8, chapter 26 and verse 8. Now, it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests, you see the kind of persons who were coming against him, the priests and the prophets at the time. And the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Can you imagine that? The lone figure, everybody was against him. People, priests, and prophets, and the king himself. And amazingly, Jeremiah resigns himself to them. They say he deserved the death. And listen to what Jeremiah said. Verse 12. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against the house and against the city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. So I'm insisting on the truth. Repent. And then look at his self-resignation in verse 14. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon the city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. One of the things that run through Jeremiah's ministry, and it is the Lord that does it, there is amazing certainty. He was so sure of the message God has given him. And apart from here, I'm going to give a few more examples of how many times Jeremiah showed so much certainty in the Word of God. Friends, I stress this because, friends, we will not be able to stand in godless times if we do not have certainty of the Word of God, what God has said. Because what is a godless time?
A godless generation simply ignores what God has said. They don't care about what the Bible teaches. They may pick up a few things here and there. A few, you know, everybody likes a few moral things in the Bible that they can use to clean up their lives a little. But they don't like coming under total submission to Scripture. In godless spirits, people abandon the Word. They don't want to be ruled by the Word of God. And the only way to stand is to be so sure of the Word of God. To be so sure that this is the very Word of God. How can we be sure? Unless, of course, we study the Word. And the Lord promises the more I study the Word, His Holy Spirit will make things certain unto us. Yesterday we were having a reading, a program, and we're looking at John Calvin's book, and we're discussing that part, and we're reminding ourselves that, now, my dear friends, you know, if you wouldn't read the Word of God, you know what can happen? You become that kind of person. You may stay in the church for years, and you wouldn't have matured. You wouldn't mature. And one thing that will prove that you haven't matured is that you'll be well with us, going with us, coming in with us. Whenever challenging situations come, you never say, let me go to the Word. Let me find out what the Word says. You will never do that. Because you see, the certain thing, and Calvin puts it so roughly sometimes, human beings will do anything but submit to God. If sometimes if they like, they can even do things to, as it were, placate God. So basically, it's okay, I'm doing this just to please you. But to submit, give their hearts to Him, they won't. Until grace comes in, my dear friends. And so friends, if you want to mature, one of the marks of a mature person is how much my heart is willing to submit to Scripture, because I'm so certain of the truthfulness of this holy book. I know this is the very mind of God. I know, you would say, I know that any other opinion contrary to this one cannot be correct. And friends, this is so important, my dear friends. We have young persons, you know, in countries where, I'm thinking about places in the US and of course in the UK, where some of the reformed teachings have been there for ages and have produced young persons who from their infancy have been brought up in Scripture and Scripture and Scripture. One of the things that happened is that sometimes ideas come up, you know, this whole idea of evolution, for example, when it began to slip through even churches, and churches were beginning to adapt the Christian message to the evolutionary ideas. You know, some bold Christians stood up and said, well, we believe the Bible first. So I'm going to start with the Bible, and I'm going to explain all the things that they want to explain by evolution. I'm starting with that. The same thing with a secular psychology. You have all kinds of persons going into, they are pastors, they go into these seminaries and they go and learn secular psychology. Psychology that was built upon people who were atheists, who were humanists, who have nothing at all to do with God, who really, some of them blaspheme God. They are theorists about life. It's what people go to learn to come to feed God's people. This is so surprising. You would think everybody should have known that this should not be done in the so-called. Do you know the whole movement called Christian Counseling Movement? Very strong in America. They are coming here, they are here, there are people here. The whole premise is secular psychology, sprinkled over with some Bible ideas. You know how it began? When they heard the secular ideas, they began to question their Bible. And then they tried to twist Bible around to fit it. Shame. Well, if we have that certainty, we say, let me start with the Word of God. And Jeremiah will do some of it in a most beautiful way. I'll give an example soon. And it's amazing certainty, dear friends. The more you read it, the more you pray to the Lord, oh Lord, grant me that certainty. But you know, it doesn't come by nature. It's the Holy Spirit's work. The Bible tells us this. The more I study the Word, the more I reflect upon that, the more I pray for grace to obey, then the Holy Spirit will use the Word to grant me more deeper sense of certainty of the word. Otherwise, my dear friends, you go out there and all kinds of opinions are thrown at you. It may be your area of profession or work. And ideas are coming up and they are telling you, oh, this is what research proves. And you know the supposed findings are contrary to scripture. What will you do? Oh, you know, this is really a kind of a research that was done in a well-reputed university. So you can't question that. A child of God says, come on, God, let God be right. Let all men be wrong. Jeremiah's certainty was amazing. And again, I repeat, it doesn't come by nature. You don't just get it simply because I sit in church. It comes because I study the word and I long to prove the Lord. Then the Lord will give us a sense of certainty, and nobody can take that from us. My dear friends, how much certainty do we have? How much trust do we have in the word of the Lord? Now, Jeremiah is threatened, he resigns himself to them. And friends, I bring you to chapter 28 now. But I have to tell you this, because I'm jumping, I have to fill in a little bit, my dear friends. Now, in chapter 20, this time Zedekiah reigns. Zedekiah is the last king. Now, before him, there had been two exiles. When Josiah died, his son Jehoahaz came to the throne. I mentioned that. The Egyptians came, deposed him, took him off the throne, and then took him to Egypt. And then they put their man there, as they always do, who is Jehoiakim. The very time they did that, then the Babylonians also came, and they deposed Jehoiakim, and they put his brother there, Jehoiachin, there. And so this Jehoiachin, the Babylonians were not happy with him, so he only reigned for 3 months, 10 days. And so the Babylonians came again and threw him out of the throne, and then put Zedekiah. Zedekiah was the son of Josiah. They put him on the throne. So this is Zedekiah that's on the throne now. So this will be the last king there, an Israelite, let's just call him the last king. And then during his time, Jeremiah had prophesied that those who were gone into captivity, because this is what he's been saying, Jerusalem will fall and the temple will be destroyed and will be in captivity for 70 years. And then somebody who is a prophet too, he's called a prophet too, came up and said, Jeremiah, well, this is what the Lord is saying. He said that, I think verse 1 to 4, chapter 28, verses 1 to 4. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azza, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of those, so he spoke to Jeremiah direct, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again in this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. In other words, within 2 years, those who went to exile will all be brought back. And all the items, because Nebuchadnezzar had come to take things there during the reign of Jehoiakim and the Jehoiachin, and so all the things he's come to take, he will bring them back. And so contrary to Jeremiah's message, it won't be 70 years, it's only 2 years. And then, listen to Jeremiah, verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. Let the Lord do so. He was ridiculing him. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears, and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that, of course, let me summarize this so that I don't have to read so much. Jeremiah simply told him that, you see, listen, the prophet that speaks and it doesn't come to pass, everybody knows he's a liar. And so, Hananiah, I'm telling you, you're telling a lie, and the Lord is saying that you will die in 7 months. This, in other words, this is all that I have to prove, that my words are true. And we are told, look at the last verse in verse 17, so Hananiah the prophet died in the same year, in the 7th month. What certainty! Even when a whole prophet stands against Jeremiah, Jeremiah was so certain that this is the very word of God. And then, I come to another time when Jeremiah showed amazing certainty about the word of God. Please come to verse chapter 37. At this time, again, let me give you a little background so that you appreciate that. At this time, the king of Babylon had actually marched to Judah and surrounded the walls. We call that besieging. So he's besieged the wall of Jerusalem. And what happened was that whilst the Babylonians had besieged the walls of Jerusalem, they heard that the king of Egypt had gathered army and were coming against them. And so the Babylonians fled. They left Jerusalem and fled. And everybody was happy. Everybody was saying, yes, yes. In fact, the king had told Jeremiah to pray for him and the city. And he thought that was the answer to prayer. He thought that maybe, well, the Lord has heard them and they are free from the Babylonians. And then Jeremiah came back to him and said that, oh, sir, you know, this was the word of the Lord, that these Babylonians that are gone will actually come again, so that the land is supposed to perish in the hands of the Babylonians, so that even if all the Babylonian army were destroyed and if we were left with the weak and the wounded, they would still rise up and conquer the city. Can you imagine a whole situation that seems the very opposite? The Babylonians have fled, and yet Jeremiah was so confident. Just read a little of that, my dear friends. In chapter 37, I said, and first of all, please, a few verses from the beginning. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the same as Jehoiachin. The son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which is spake by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah became very crafty at this time. And Zedekiah, the king, sent Jehukal, these persons, and they said, look at the last line of the verse, pray now unto the Lord, our God, for us. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him in prison. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans are the Babylonians, that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire. So that was the prayer he had asked. Behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. And so it happened. And so when Jeremiah had finished this message, because the Babylonians were then were going away, after he had preached this, Jeremiah was only going back to Benjamin where he belonged to. And some people saw him and they said, oh, you know, Benjamin is a little towards the north. Jerusalem is at the south and it's towards the middle aspect, as if travel a bit more towards the north. And they thought that Jeremiah was going to join himself to the Babylonians. They thought he's an ally of the Babylonians.
And some people accused him and said, look, he's going to join the Babylonians. And they caught him and they put him in prison. And then once again, he was badly treated. And then when he was in prison, Zedekiah called him quietly and asked him, now please tell me, what is the word of the Lord really? He says, now one on one, he and the king, will Jeremiah change his mouth? Friends, do I read it? Say verse 17, I think the same 37, verse 17. Verse 16, when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon, because they had put him there and into the cabin, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word of the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Jeremiah wouldn't change his message. You will be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Oh, my dear friends, you know, one of the things that many Christians find very difficult, it shouldn't be, is when they have to be very faithful to somebody one-on-one, whether he's a friend, whether he's been a helper. Zedekiah will show Jeremiah some kindness because he will stop people from persecuting him. In fact, he will be put in prison in a very deep dungeon, and he will be the one to tell the people to bring Jeremiah out from there. As he didn't go entirely out into the open, but he gave him a more comfortable place, relatively, to dwell. And yet, Jeremiah went in again and again. When this man called him, he told him again and again exactly what the word of the Lord is. My dear friends, There's that thing that we have in our hearts as Christians when we are converted, is that the Lord brings us to genuinely love people's souls. It is out of that love that will not let us twist God's message, God's word, just in favor of friendship. We truly believe that we will be of help to people only if we help them to stand right with God. Dear friend, do we all believe this? Do we all truly believe that the best help I can give anybody is to help that person be in that state where the Lord will truly look upon him in mercy and blessing? And if we believe that, then we will say, then when I'm dealing with anybody, I will pray for grace from the Lord to tell them only what God has said, what I believe the Bible teaches. And I will, by the help of the Lord, not want to veer to the right or to the left. I would only want to set before the person only what God has said. This should be our attitude, my dear. This is why the Bible says that we are light in this world. We see light brightens wherever you take it. There's no place that the light says, okay, if I bring me to this place, I'm not going to brighten this place. And light brightens everywhere. And so was Jeremiah. And once again, I repeat the word, what makes us able to do that is when we have that confidence in God's word. Do we really believe that this is the very word of God? Do we really believe that what God says? See, for example, this morning we're speaking just briefly about that. If I truly believe that no life is life at all unless it is lived for the Lord, then I believe that there's no real good, whether in my children or in whoever, if that person isn't right with God. If I truly believe that true life is that which is lived for the Lord, then it becomes my passion that I want anybody who is within the reach of my influence to live right with God. Dear friends, that confidence, the confidence in the word of God, so that we cannot easily be lured to the left or to the right, we would ever stand and say, this is what the Bible teaches, and this is what we would want to teach and urge people to follow. But we have grace to build our homes, our families in the same way. We would want to strive, and especially we who may be fathers in the homes. We know the standards of the Lord. We wouldn't do that in harshness. We wouldn't think we want to accomplish everything overnight.
No, a number of the things require patient, persistent work for a long time. But the important thing is you keep the standard in view. This is the way God wants us to behave in this household. To honor Him in this way, to honor the Lord's Day. Keep it entirely free, for example. Keep it entirely free from any unnecessary work. And all unnecessary labor, to preserve it a day of spiritual reflection and prayer and worship, and to rest the body and to rest the mind, and to, so that we can go to the house of God refreshed to give Him the glory that is due Him. This is the house of the, this is a Christian home. We're supposed to be seen in how we spend our money, the kind of things we want to purchase and things like those. Yes, this is the standard. Are there members in the family that are not appreciating this? Then we're not going to really come upon them with the harsh words. No, but we keep the standard and keep emphasizing and keep emphasizing. And as long as it depends on us, try to set the example. And we keep it there again and again. But what is it that will keep you going? It's sincere persuasion that this is the only way of peace. This is the only way of blessing. And that if I don't, if it doesn't happen, we won't be blessed. That certainty gives courage and gives persistence. Otherwise, whether from pressure, from fear, or whatever, you will buckle. And you will give in so easily. And so we will dishonor the Lord. And the Lord will have to frown either upon our church, upon our homes, or whatever else. Because now we've compromised. And we are no longer persisting and no longer urging the members there to remember to honor the Lord. My dear friends, you see, the certainty, dear friends, and I repeat again, because it's so important, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. If I truly love the Lord and want to embrace His word, He will inscribe that on my conscience. And you will never rest as long as that standard is not kept. And you will persist and keep pressing and keep urging and keep teaching and keep speaking to people until it is done. The same thing in the church, my dear friends. You don't expect things to happen overnight. A number of things would take time, constant teaching and speaking to people one-on-one, sometimes reproving, sometimes encouraging. And this goes on as long as we live. And we never stop. You stop, we sink. The church is like a, it's like the, you know, it's like the aeroplane. It can't stop. If it stops, it crashes. It has to keep moving. You see. As if we stop challenging ourselves to set the standard, we should never. And this is, of course, I'm speaking to myself as those of us who bear responsibility. If you get to any point, you say, "Well, I'm tired. I've said it. Nobody seems to believe. So I'm really not going to talk about it again." No, we should be like Jeremiah and say, "Even though I think I'm not going to speak about it again, yet God's word burns in my heart. I'm so certain this is the way of peace that I cannot keep quiet." And I must teach it, I must, as long as it's within our power, to enforce it. Make sure it is done, make sure it's carried out. Oh, my dear friends, certainty gives us so much strength. Now, Jeremiah was imprisoned again. As I said, when they thought that he was going to support the Babylonians, they imprisoned him. And this time, they were so wicked with him. They put him in a dry well. There was no water. It was actually dry. You still had the mud in it in chapter 38. And so while he was in it, he was sinking. And so it took a Gentile called Ebed-Melech, who came to the king and said, "Oh king, what they are doing to Jeremiah, they will kill him. Ask that he be removed from there." And Zedekiah was afraid to displease the people, and yet at the same time, he wanted to side with Jeremiah a little. And so he asked that Jeremiah be removed from there. And so they brought him in, and he went to Jeremiah again to ask him, "Please speak to me again. What is the Lord saying?" And Jeremiah had to tell him, "Please, this is the word of the Lord. Go and give yourself to the Babylonians. If you do, they wouldn't kill you. If you do, they won't destroy the city. They won't destroy the temple. Everything will be spared. They will take you to Babylon, and all of you will be there for 70 years. That wasn't pleasant, wasn't it?
When the other Hananiah was saying it was 2 years and Jeremiah was saying 7 years, you know what he did also? He also wrote a letter to those who were there and said that some people have been telling us 2 years. Don't mind them. It's actually going to be 7 years. So settle down, buy land, build houses, marry. Because it's going to be 70 years. This can be discouraging, isn't it? If people are really, it's like the charismatic, they give you this false hope. And they don't want you to tell them what actually the Bible teaches. Huh? People want to hear all that nice things. And you know, at this time, Zedekiah wanted to run away. And Jeremiah said, please don't go. Your safety is, go and give yourself to the king. The captain was not Nebuzaradan. Go to him and say, sir, I surrender. And Zedekiah said, I'm afraid. There are people who have already gone to the king. If I go, he will give me to them and they will mock me. He said, Jeremiah says, no, God says it won't happen. Go and give yourself to the king. This must be discouraging, isn't it? Hey, that was the word of the Lord. Was Zedekiah listen? He didn't. He didn't listen. Friends, my time is going. I'm sorry, I'm not turning again because my time is almost out. He didn't. At night, he decided to run away. Got a few persons with him and his family. They went through an open place in a wall trying to run away. And of course, he was caught. And then his own children were killed right before him. And he put out his own eyes. And they led him a slave into Babylon. And then Jeremiah said, well, I told you. And then the Babylonians then came, destroyed the walls, pulled down the temple, arrested everybody. Thankfully, they treated Jeremiah nicely. And so he had a good place. And they asked Jeremiah, where will you go? Do you want a place in capital Babylon, or you want to stay here? Jeremiah said, well, I want to stay among my people. And so they handed him over to their own person they were putting in place. It's called Gedaliah. They handed him over to him, and they said, take care of him. Everything he needs, give it to him. Supply all his needs. And Jeremiah was in safety. Oh, there was a part I should have mentioned, but I cannot. Our time's up. Jeremiah eventually died in Egypt because this man Gedaliah, a group rose up led by a man called Ishmael. They are all in this book of Jeremiah, and they killed this Gedaliah. And another group rose up and killed that Ishmael that killed this Gedaliah. And they said that, oh, if the Babylonians come, they will kill us because we hear that their man had been killed. And so we want to run away to Egypt. And so they were afraid. In their fear, they went to Jeremiah and said, please advise us. What should we do? Should we go to Egypt or stay? Go and pray to the Lord. Whatever the Lord tells you, we will do it. Jeremiah went to pray to the Lord, and the Lord told them, don't go. Stay in this land. When the king of Babylon comes, he won't kill you. And know what the people said? They themselves have told Jeremiah to go and ask from the Lord. Jeremiah comes with the response of the Lord. You know what they told him? They said, liar. God didn't tell you. You, Jeremiah, we've seen. Is your friend Baruch who is telling you? Because he doesn't want us to go to Egypt. And so they bundled Jeremiah along with them by force and took him to Egypt. Immediately they released him. Jeremiah said, let me tell you the word of the Lord. The Lord says, the king of Babylon will come to erect his kingdom even here. So you are not safe yet. King of Babylon is coming all the way here also. So you think of escape, you've not escaped. He's coming, and he will take the place. Now, Jeremiah died there. My dear friends, I admire his faithfulness to the very end. Even when the odds seemed to be against his message, he seemed to say something that cannot happen, given the trend. And yet he was so certain. My dear friends, that's the kind of confidence Christians have. Let the trend change. And people say, well, these things, no. You cannot do in these times. They that love the word of God and trust it say, if God has said it, this is the truth. We will believe that. And we will serve him, give ourselves to him, and be ready to suffer, even if for his sake. Oh, my dear friends, may the Lord help us all.